Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to our event today. I am here with my good friend, Ray Orsini. Ray, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. You know, it's as we were just talking about, the weather here in Michigan today is beautiful. It's 85 degrees right now and sunny. So that totally beats the snow and cold.
See, we get the heat, but we don't get the cold. I'd love to get like some snow every once in a while, you know. I wouldn't be against it.
It probably doesn't happen very often in Miami though, right? So yeah.
No, I think 1940 something was the last time we had snow. So, and it was like little flakes. It was,
yeah. Well, you're always welcome to visit Michigan in the wintertime. Feel free to zip on up here and I'll show you the good fun snow in the good old Michigan winter. So
yeah, I actually will take you up on that at one point. I know Tom Lawrence has been telling me I got to go visit. So, and you guys aren't too far from each other as far as I know.
No, not really. We're a couple hours away. So two and a half hours. So not too terribly bad. So I'd like to welcome everybody for today's event. Very excited to have you guys here today. Do apologize about last week's little technology dilemma with internet connectivity and power. But we are live and running here today. We're going to talk about 10 VoIP myths for MSPs. And of course, it's being sponsored by OIT VoIP. And in Ray, so thank you very much for that. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. Ready to kick it off. And just one quick housekeeping thing here. If you do have questions throughout, please go ahead and throw them into chat or the questions. Also, one of our attendees is going to be winning a $50 Amazon gift card. And because of last week's inconvenience, Everything MSP is going to match that. And we're going to have a second $50 Amazon gift card. So we'll have two winners today. You have to be present on the event today here to join. So make sure you hang tight with us during the entire event. At the end, we'll go ahead and pick our two winners for that. So let's kick it off. VoIP, it's your livelihood, right?
It's my livelihood, and I can't let you beat me here. So I genuinely appreciate that, like, you know, Everything MSP is going to step up and also do the gift card. We're also going to give away some shirts. Simon will pick out some names of, everybody knows we got our swag stuff. So nice. And actually I just got these footballs in today. So awesome. For our tech tailgate. So we're going to give away some shirts too for all the questions and stuff. VoIP is my livelihood for, you know, it's actually, let me share the screen a little bit, because I did a little about me page, believe it awesome. Or not. Let me see here. I don't normally do presentations. I normally do off the cuff talking. So yeah. I apologize if it's a little more rough than usual, but I think it'll be for the best.
I think we know some MSPs that are able to assist. So just raise your hand.
You know. I bet they would. So here we go. All right, cool. So my name's Ray Orsini, CEO of OIT VoIP. Those that don't know, we've been catering to MSPs for years. For those that don't know me, because you have this monstrous crowd here, so, you know, I'm sure there's at least a few that don't know me. I'm a husband, father of two, including a female engineer. It's so I like to say internship. She likes to say child labor. You know, she was interning with me when she was 11. Now she's one of the most experienced engineers here. My background's in complex and distributed networking, so I've been doing this for a little over three decades at this point. So building data centers, building WAN, network infrastructure, copper in the ground, fiber in the ground, that kind of stuff. Multi-city, multi-state, multi-continent. That's what I've been doing for way too long. And I fly drones among my hobbies. I used to be a DJ, but now I like to fly drones. This is actually some stuff I did 4th of July for my parents' dock.
Nice.
We were shooting off fireworks. So it was kind of cool. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, that's very cool. You know, that reminds me of when my son was, I don't know, he must have been 8 or 9. I bought him one of the remote controlled helicopters, and we were on the back deck and I flew it up and over. I was not very skilled at it. And all of a sudden we heard it crash into the street in the front yard, and we went out and got it, and it was destroyed. So that was one of the quickest, you know, or shortest shelf lives of one of the toys that he's had. So,
oh man. I'm getting in the, I see in the Q&A, they're saying the chat's disabled. Can you take a look at that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'll take a look at that here. Yeah.
Thank you, Gary. Those of you that have seen me present, I'm not a death by PowerPoint kind of guy. So ask questions. I definitely, the more the merrier. This is about you guys. OIT, this is the most boring slide in the world for me. So I'll just rush through it while Dan's figuring out the chat part, the fun part for me. Those that don't know, my background, like I said, complex distributed networking, started as an MSP. And I know all vendors used to be an MSP, blah, blah. We've heard that 1,000 times over. I was a successful MSP, if that matters. Did a lot of speaking for ConnectWise, SonicWall, Dell, BrightGage, talking about operational efficiency, process and procedure. Same stuff I talk about today. Did really well there. But I liked working with MSPs, like doing the VoIP thing. I found out I was consulting more on Elastics and free PBX. And, you know, I'm a CCIE voice. So a lot of, you know, Cisco Q systems and Unity systems and all that fun stuff. And I realized I'd rather speak to an MSP than doing password resets with the user. there's only so many out of cyan printers you can address in your lifetime, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So we moved over to VoIP, started VoIP early 2012, 2013, selling it as a hosted product. Decided to go 100% VoIP channel only in 2016. That the name changed from Orsini IT to OIT VoIP. Same team, same engineer, same everybody. And the team has been growing leaps and bounds ever since. Tons of awards, if that matters to you. We just actually won another one, Product of the Year from TMC, if that's cool. All of our engineers are 100% North American based. We're a fully remote company. Most of them, I think we're in 17, 18 states in the US plus Canada. And then we also have developers and administrative staff in some other countries as well. But everything's in-source. We don't outsource a single iota of our business. And the fun part, what this is all about, I ran numbers. I'm not a BS and fluff kind of guy. Every myth here is something I asked MSPs on Discord, Slack, Facebook, Reddit. I asked them, what are the challenges? What are the myths? What are the, you know, what are the obstacles? I'm going to talk about this so I can address them. So this is what they've told me. I didn't even come up with this stuff. But I also, in the running the numbers, I said, okay, well, if I'm saying you're leaving money on the table, how much money? Literally millions in annual recurring revenue that we're generating for MSPs. Those are real numbers between channel and white label. So yeah. That's so awesome. I don't know anybody who doesn't want a few more zeros in their revenue, right?
Anytime so, you can add a quality product to your mix and to help not only provide your clients with just a rock solid solution, but in return it helps drive more revenue for you and profits, that's solid.
Absolutely. So this is the first poll. I got two polls here. So the first poll, what's holding you back from selling VoIP today? This is not a sales pitch. This is a legit question. That's what we're trying to address here, right? I don't even, believe it or not, if you find a better VoIP solution elsewhere, but we've addressed your questions here, I'm still happy with that. I'd be happier if you're with me, but as long as you're gaining that revenue, I'm all about supporting the community. So the top challenges I heard when asking people, support burden on my staff because I'm not a VoIP expert, complex taxes, not enough money, I'm already selling VoIP, awesome. And then other, I don't know, unicorns, rainbows, you know, something like that holding you back. So what do we got here? We got 11 out of 28. We got 39% saying complex taxes. And then we have very close behind support burden than not enough money.
Interesting.
That's honestly not surprising. Those are the things that I've seen over and over again. And hint, we're going to actually talk about those exact things in this webinar. Dan, if you're going to share the slide deck eventually, or Simon will want to, but we will make this all available to you guys. So
yeah,
don't feel like you have to take screenshots or anything.
Yeah. When we'll be sending out after the event, we'll be sending out a link to the replay of this. So you can share with other people in your team or other colleagues and partners out there, And then we'll also include the slide deck as well.
Awesome. I love that. And I see Carrie's got me beat 4.5 decades here. and good question, Carrie. I will get to that when we move on. But yeah, so the highest one here seems complex tax, but we'll go with number two first, which was support. It's going to be too much burden for my team to support. Best in class, these are Paul Dipple, C-level, best in class MSPs, quarter hour per endpoint per month, right? Those are like, those are the high OML, you know, 4.0, 5.0 OML, operational maturity MSPs out there. These are real numbers because we have a direct branch, channel partner, and white label, and channel partners are not forced to do support themselves. They can send, have us do the support, or they can do it themselves. This is where I pulled the data, and I pulled 3 years worth of data. The average is 0.00015 hours per endpoint per month. So the entire burden is 2 to 3 hours up front during onboarding, deployment, if you want to do white glove deployment, that kind of stuff. You know, average client 15, 20 seats, something like that. And then less than one ticket per 6 months. And they're usually call routing changes.
That's awesome.
You know, so if you're worried about support, don't be an MSP. You know, that's kind of your dick, your skitch, right? But it's really not that complicated. Then add to that, we go in and we train you on our methods, whether you're channel partner, white label, doesn't matter. We give you, and we'll get into the process procedure stuff, but we train you on all this. It's not that complicated. You know, it's, and then if you don't want to do it, just send it to us and we'll take care of it. You don't even have to worry. Make that 0 hours per endpoint per month. We'll take care of it. So two, there isn't enough profit. This was your tied for third place between I'm already selling VoIP and not enough money. So that tells me half the group is very, very smart and half the group is going to be smarter after this presentation.
Right.
So VoIP client acquisition, this is not BS because we track, I'm the numbers guy. I track everything. Okay. And this includes when a channel partner sends a quote request form and how long it takes us to close it. Our shortest close is 7 minutes. And actually I sold that to an MSP vendor. The average close is less than 4 days. Average, less than 4 days. Awesome. Why? Because everybody has phone service. Every business on the planet has phone service. And almost everybody on the planet hates their phone company. I mean, you're talking like low barrier, right? Like, so it's easy to close, which means your sales costs. We just talked about this on your, on the Build It Better calls, right? We just talked about this, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. We were talking about how it took 17 touches to close an MSP deal. Mm-hmm. And I built that little calculator real quick. It is 10 times less effort to close a VoIP deal. And what happens with a lot of MSPs is they'll say, oh, I'm only going to do my VoIP, my MSP clients first. Smart. And then afterward, they just start expanding because it's so easy because everybody knows somebody. You're networking anyway. So that equates to $15,000. That is a 10-person customer, on average 10-seat customer, $15,000 in passive revenue every single year you're passing up at bare minimum. That's with like two or three clients. $15,000. It is ridiculous.
And when you have the opportunity to get foot in door, I mean, when we know that the sales cycle for selling managed services, you know, can be lengthy, you know, when you have an opportunity to get foot in door, develop that relationship and just grow upon that relationship, that allows you to take it to the next level, you know, after you've closed the VoIP deal.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. And that happens a lot. I mean, you know, how many people have you gone in and you did a cabling job first or a quick break fix job first, and that eventually morphed into MSP? VoIP is a lot easier than doing a site survey for cabling, right? I mean, there's no, you don't have to fish wire through the walls unless you really like that. That's one of the things I hated in my MSP days. I'm too old to be up in the attic anymore, right? But like, you know, but it's so much easier. True story, when I started MSP or when I was doing MSP, what launched me, what really kicked me off into making significant VoIP money was I started working with CBeyond. Their salespeople were still doing the knock and talk. You know, they knocked on my door, came in and talked to me, tried to sell me service I already had from them. And I said, but I can do your activations. I can do your, you know, and that turned into pre-site assessments. getting an unbiased third party go in and tell the client, oh no, everything's going to be fine. I'm, you know, your internet, your network's fine. We'll be able to do the cutover. It'll be this process. They would pay me for the cutover. And really I was getting to do this discovery, a warm intro, and I was getting to see everything in the client's network. It didn't cost me a penny. I mean, it was awesome. And I would convert those left and right. And then when the CB on contract sent died, I turned those into, because we're all tracking contracts, right? I turned those all into hosted VoIP clients. It was phenomenal. That's awesome. Loved it.
And you know, the other thing too is, you know, one of the challenges that we have is, you know, a lot of times decision makers don't always know exactly what's happening for their employees. You know, they, you know, their computer might be running fine, but everybody else's might not be running the way it needs to be. So you get an opportunity where you walk in and you're deploying VoIP handsets in an organization, gives you an opportunity to be able to listen and hear what kind of challenges they might have with their overall technology management.
Oh yeah.
So kind of a Trojan horse opportunity there.
Absolutely right. Use anything you can to start the conversation. I love John Coleman's response. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go with wow. I'll take that as my win for the day. Absolutely. Yeah. So to keep on moving, myth number three, taxes are complex. Everything we do is hard. You can't tell me auditing for Log4j was harder than doing taxes. The difference is, you know, and that's exactly why we have the two programs, right? We have the channel partner program where we're billing, we're doing everything. You're making, you know, residual and upfront bonuses, but you're making the recurring commissions, but we're handling all the taxes and compliance. But when you decide to step up to white label, we have an easy migration, and white label is actually where I recommend to everybody. Just like your own business, you have a CPA that does your annual taxes. You probably have a company that does your payroll taxes, whatever. We have tax professionals that work with us for a low monthly fee, and they handle all your registration. It's really just a 499Q if you're de minimis, which means you're making over $67,500 a year, or it's an annual reporting. Again, the CPA does most of the work for you. You just fill out, I made this much money from VoIP. That's it. It's not complicated. And then unlike MSP, Dan, have you ever tried to bill your clients and say, we're charging you an MSP billing fee on your MSP invoice? Have you ever been able to get away with that?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. But look at every one of your cell phone invoice, your home phone invoice, any phone invoice you have, I guarantee you, you have a compliance, regulatory compliance fee, or some kind of cost recovery fee. It is in there. That is an FCC approved charge to charge your clients part for taking back some of the burden for all the administrative overhead. Nice. You are allowed by the FCC to charge. And that is common practice. I'm not telling you do something to screw your clients. I'm saying this is common practice and allowed.
Right.
Okay. So it's, I mean, and everybody's going to go back and look at their invoices now and be like, oh damn, I've been paying Verizon this for years. So, I mean, it becomes a no-brainer at that point. It's doing it. Joe Hernandez says, wow is right.
Yeah.
Let me see. So with white label like OIT, I won't need a separate vendor to handle my VoIP tax for me. Dean, hey, what's up, Dean? Dean's a good friend. So we have a vendor. We are working on a gray label option we will have within 60 days. Those are real numbers. I don't do roadmap TM stuff. We have a vendor that connects with us during your onboarding. We connect you with them and we handle a lot of the onboarding with them. So they'll handle the taxes for you. It's a low monthly fee. It's like $300 or $400 a month. If it's single state, more states are more than that. It's not that big of a deal. Fred Joseph is asking, how many hours is this session? This is 1 hour, but I'm always available on everything MSP in the Facebook groups. You can always hit me up, and I'm on the calls most weeks, Wednesdays and Fridays. So you can always hit me up there.
Yeah.
But let's not take over your build a better calls. It's I'm just there to answer simple questions.
And I do want to say one quick thing. I meant to mention this earlier. When Ray mentions that he just loves to help MSPs, I mean, he truly believes, he truly does. I mean, when Ray is on our MSP discussion group calls, the Build a Better calls, which are every Wednesday and Friday at 12 noon Eastern, Ray isn't there, you know, blabbing all about, you know, OIT. He's there just to talk about whatever. I mean, it could be business related. It could be VoIP related. It's MSP related. And Ray is truly a good guy that is there to help. So I just wanted to
thanks, man.
Out on that, man.
I appreciate it. It got me through the first year and a half of work from home, and I gained so many great friends from those calls when you started them up. A lot of people. I'm not a VoIP expert. Support is hard. I'm not a VoIP expert. I don't know how to do this. No kidding. You weren't a printer expert. You weren't a networking expert. You weren't an ISP expert. And then you became one. The difference is unlike all of those other things where you had to go RTFM or you had to go to, you know, Reddit RMSP or go to join the Build a Better calls to figure out what everybody else was doing about print nightmare.
Right.
We're actually training you on this stuff. We're A, offloading the support if you don't want to do it, or B, we're training you how to do it. Our guide, our doc on how to handle calls for channel partners is teach them what we're doing, but also do it for them if they want us to. And then for white labels, it's teach them how to do it so they can do it for themselves. Those are in the docs of how my support team handles tickets every single day. So you don't need to be the expert. We're going to do it for you. And then we'll make you the expert, whether you want to be or not, too bad. So you'll have a lot of knowledge. Training tier 2+ support's available on demand. We have an awesome support team. And one of the things, and again, this is not a sell OIT, it is a sell OIT VoIP thing, but take these as metrics if you're evaluating another VoIP company and make sure they're hitting these marks for you too. It doesn't have, like I said, I'm genuinely honest when I say, if you walk away from this and decide you're going to sell VoIP with your cousin because your cousin has a company or you have a neighborhood company that feeds you business and you'd rather do business with them, just make sure they're hitting these marks. And if you're going to be profitable, I'm happy for you. I genuinely am. But make sure you're asking these questions, right? You make sure they're hitting these marks. And honestly, maybe I shouldn't say it's not more difficult than networking. As a networking guy, networking's easy to me, but I know it's not for everybody else. It's really not complicated. Plug it in. If it gets an IP address, you've done your job.
Right.
Everything else is on us, realistically, right? So let's see here. I'm just thinking better way. Good point. Yeah, same here. So I was, okay, just checking the chat real quick. VoIP isn't reliable. Actually, Dean Trampolis is the one that gave me this one in the chat. VoIP isn't reliable. POTS never goes out. This one is a semi-myth, right? Here's the thing. Yes, the copper in the ground at the 3.67 volts or T1, touch T1. Those are always fun to touch there for the first and last time. But the copper in the ground will be there running probably till kingdom come. Here's the challenge with that. Most businesses have a phone system or a PBX attached to those POTS lines. So when the power goes out, the phone system's out. The POTS lines still work, but the phone system's out. I don't know many businesses that keep a regular, you know, analog telephone that they know how to go plug it in if the power goes out or if, you know, something happens. Whereas VoIP, if it knows your phones are unregistered, meaning you lose internet access or power outage or whatever, VoIP automatically fails over. POTS don't. VoIP, I can take my cell phone and we have MVNO, so actual cell phone service or soft phone, and I can keep running from anywhere else. I can go home and I can have a full desk phone, soft phone, whatever I want anywhere else. You can't do that with POTS. So when you're talking about reliability, VoIP wins there. Okay. Now take that, the Northeast, Verizon's already announced last year, they're not going to deploy any new VoIP or any new POTS orders at all. They're starting to do the same across the country. AT&T is starting to, because the copper in the ground is so expensive to maintain, they're going to stop deploying this stuff. So I'm not saying anything's wrong with the Model T, but there's a reason you can't buy one today. You know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, just use that.
Yeah. And business continuity, man. I mean, business continuity is so critical. And when, you know, the fact that, you know, this is going to continue to work for the clients is one of those things that we might take for granted, but it blows the clients away. You know, it blows them away because they're so used to having that downtime when there is some type of outage like that. And, you know, in allowing them to continue to operate in these type of scenarios just blows them away and it allows them just to continue to do their business and generate revenue and service their clients.
And that's the truth, right? Like you know, you do this every day, right? You service your clients. We've talked about this on the Build a Better calls. Your BDR plans are not planned to have everything up and running forever till the end of time. That's the goal,
right?
But your backup and disaster recovery plans are for when stuff happens. VoIP has the answer for when stuff happens. When not Katrina, I forget the other one, because we have an initiative called OIT Ready, where if you're affected by a natural disaster or you lose service, we will provide free service for customers, no contract, no nothing. Let them call forward to us. And you can offer this to your customers. We've done this for years. And I forgot which hurricane it was in New Orleans that they got affected. And because they couldn't call forward, or they couldn't like reroute calls. Their only options were call forward. So we were, and most businesses know, if you're without service, if you get your clients are getting a business signal for more than 24 hours, they're probably never going to call you back. So we offer that. VoIP allows for that. POTS doesn't. So there you go. All right. Poll number two, are you stir, shake, and compliant? It was so hard for me, because you know I do the tech bar. It was so hard for me not to have like a martini shaker and like.
Exactly.
You know,
perfect.
Oh, we got one. Yeah, we got a couple of yeses, which is a couple more than I really thought we were going to get. So that's pretty good. Say what is about what I expected. All right. So let's see here. We got. Oh, they're still coming in.
Yeah, still coming in.
Lively bunch, man.
I love it.
I mean, usually you do this and you get like five or six answers on the polls. Like, this group is nuts. They're answering these polls. I appreciate it. All right. So we have 34% yes, which is great. That's pretty fantastic. Mm-hmm. We have 13% no, which, okay, better than I would have thought it would have been. So that's cool. And then, yeah, solid 53% of what? Okay.
Great.
So I'll give you the short version. I actually owe Mike Davis from Extra Mile Technology a video on this. But stir shaken is the supposed to be the FCC's answer to robocalls. As of June 30th of this year, the sending provider is supposed to send an attestation saying we either A, know or reliably know that the owner of this phone number is on our network and we're sending out and it's reliable. B, we have reasonable certainty. C, no, I don't know who these people are. Here's the phone number. C's will probably come up as spam. B's and A's, it's up to the receiving party to do what they want to with it. I can tell you, despite the June 30th requirement by the FCC that was moved up a full year in advance, sooner than it was supposed to be, tons of providers still aren't compliant. It is a conversation you have to have with your VoIP vendor. Those of you that are doing like Nextiva, 8x8, RingCentral, you're covered. Those with OIT, you're covered. But if you're doing, I'm not going to call out anybody that I know to be, but have the conversation. what you call it, but either way, 34% is awesome. That's far higher than I expected it to be. So, all right. I thought there was still a 9/11 requirement to have a direct POTS line in all physical locations. Is this correct? So I'm going to answer for US and Canada, because those are my client base. The answer is no. That is not that's never been a requirement. There may be some stuff with local municipalities may have something that supersedes national building code or something to that effect. It is not an FCC policy by any means. You may have some daycare, and maybe where that's coming from. Okay, so EU, we don't service the EU, so I'm sorry.
Right.
So that very well may be. But in the US and Canada, I can say for a fact, no. Some
it might healthcare be elevators, areas. Elevators? I'm sorry? Maybe elevators?
Even elevators. Elevators stopped in 2021. Okay. It used to be health and safety had to be on a POTS line, or had to be on a copper line, let me say. POTS, plain old telephone service, normally it's copper line, had to be on a copper line or a POTS line. That stopped in 2021. Fire alarm used to have to be on a POTS line. That also stopped in 2021. What changed is you had to guarantee accessibility to service despite a power outage. With the advent of cellular cell-based service or UPS backups for X amount of time, a lot of that went away. I'm old school, like, you know, my wife works with us now, but she used to work at a preschool as a teacher. Like when we did that building, I still required a POTS line just for health and safety. Like yeah. I didn't want any kid to have to call 911 and the power is out and, you know, waiting on the UPS to kick in. I'm not doing that. We as OIT still do not support elevator lines at all. That is a policy of ours, not a legal requirement. For the same reason. And now we have people that we can connect you with, like TCG or Telara, same company now, and they can help you sell service for the elevators. But yeah, we don't do that. All right. I don't have a process in place to offer this. That's fair. If you're not selling VoIP, right? We said, a good number of people weren't selling VoIP. Well, they don't know how to sell VoIP. I can say you have that with any new product, right? That's, you know, when you started doing email filtering or archival or, email encryption. I don't know why I'm stuck on email today. But you didn't have a process for selling that, right? When HIPAA came into became commonplace for MSPs, you didn't have a process for that. You know, NIST, CMMC, you didn't have a process for that until you did.
Right.
It's no different here. The difference here is, I didn't see, I didn't see anybody from the government knocking on your door and saying, we're going to teach you to sell this. I never saw that for NIST or for CMMC.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't see it for OCR, anybody for HIPAA. We train you. And then for a channel partner, or white label, we'll get on the call. If it's channel partner, we get on the call to help sell. White label, we get on the call and pretend to be part of your company because we really believe in supporting the MSP, but it's not complicated. And then I have 1,400 docs on voipdocs.io. Use them. They're unbranded. Most of our MSPs started copying and pasting those docs, and then they just stopped because we update them all the time. And, they're unbranded, so they just use them for their clients. So you don't have to, copy, paste, done. There you go. Actually, who was it? It was Josh, right? That said he didn't believe me. I had a doc for everything. And then he called me out, gave a doc, and I pulled up the doc on the spot.
Yeah.
One of the calls, so, Josh Lieberman. That was a good time. I was sweating it, though. I was worried he was going to call out something I didn't have.
Yeah.
All right. Myth 7, right? Let's keep this running. The client is going to blame me if something goes wrong. You're not wrong. Actually, I think this was a Dean and like 15 other MSPs also said the same thing. The client's going to blame you if something goes wrong. I'm sorry, Dan hates it when I curse. No shit. I mean, the truth of the matter is they're going to blame you if something goes wrong regardless. You know what I mean? How many times have like the toaster doesn't work? My car tires are flat. You know, if you're married, you're used to this. I'm married. I love my wife to death, but there's things I've been blamed for that were not my fault, right? I have kids, same thing, teenagers. Oof.
I feel so, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, the client's going to blame you, but on the other side of that, if you're in a position to fix it, isn't that better? Right. Like it's one thing to say, my wife tells me, oh, the internet's out. And if you can't do anything, that sucks. Now, if the internet's out and I can restart the modem at home or the router and I'm up and running again, you feel like a superhero. Exactly. Be a superhero.
Yeah.
I'll send you a cape when you sign up if you want. I mean, I have these awesome towels, right? Because we were just talking about these tech tailgate towels, but I'll send you a cape. Be the superhero for your client. Take more control, because that's what we all tell them as MSPs, right? We're in control of your entire network, your IT infrastructure, your costs, to make sure you have that best quality of service, that best experience, so you can do your job and be profitable. You can't do that if you're only taking control of some of the pieces. Take control of everything you can.
And would you rather have a scenario where you have control over the VoIP provider versus you not offering something, and then you have, 10, 12, 20 different VoIP providers that you have to try to figure out how to be the superhero, the superhero, you want one solution that you can master and that you know how to react and respond to, situations that happen out there.
And how many times have you gotten where you call the ISP and they're like, oh, it's nothing. One, they treat it like a low priority, right?
Right.
Oh yeah, we'll get to it between tomorrow and Thursday of 2775. Or two, you know, they don't acknowledge. I remember doing this with DSL, right? When I had, yes, I'm old, but doing this with DSL, where like my DSL would go out and I check the patch cables and I check reboot the modem and I check that I was getting an IP. I do all my stuff, right? And I'd call and I say, yeah, I did these steps. I'm seeing that I'm not getting sync. Can you please, you know, restart from your end or send a refresh signal from your end, blah, blah. And they still did the rigmarole for 45 minutes of, did you reboot it? Can you change the patch cable? Can you plug in locally? And it's like, they don't hear you. They have to go through those steps. Right. You know, with us, we acknowledge your intelligence and acknowledge that you've actually, you know, done training with us. So you say, we did this, this, and this, and we pick up on the next step. That's the way we operate. And you get you better answers. You ever call the phone company and they say this, it's your ISP, it's your phone company, it's this, it's that. We don't do that. Whether it's our fault or not, we can show you the data because again, these are MSP engineers that work on my help desk. They will show you the ping plotter results. They'll show you the hop. They'll show you the latency. They'll show you whatever. They'll get on a call with you, with your ISP to tell you what's going on and to have the conversation with the ISP. And I guarantee you that gets results. I can tell you 100% of the time that gets results. Dean says, but I don't want to be blamed. Suck it up, dude. You're getting blamed. Too bad. So, and the ISP isn't going to own up if it's their problem. That's true. You ever call and you stay on hold with the ISP for like 15 minutes and suddenly your internet comes back up. You get on the phone. They're like, oh, we didn't do anything. You're like, come on. Come right. on. Like, come
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
You see your modem restart. You're like, come on. Yeah. I mean, you know, take control, have the answers for your client. It's so much better than saying, I don't know. Right.
Exactly.
So, this is a legit one. This was surprising to me. VoIP is difficult to explain, aka setting expectations. This was surprising to me because when I started selling VoIP back in the day, whatever I say age-wise, Carrie's going to be like, yeah, but I'm older. But, you know, whatever, when I was selling VoIP back in the day, I would say Vonage, RingCentral, Nextiva, they're doing all the customer education for me, right? I'm talking like early 2000s. Like they're teaching the customers what VoIP is and they're spending millions and billions of dollars to do this. So that when I knocked on the door and I said, hey, we have VoIP, they already knew what it was. So to see this in 2022 was kind of surprising for me. But I get it. I absolutely get it. My experience is not everybody else's experience. Actually, I think is what Dean actually said. He said, oh, you asked for our difficulties, not yours. I was all right, I'll shut up. So realistically, right? Clients, you know, they don't know when the internet goes out, why do the phones stop working? Now, they don't say the internet went out, why can't I access Bank of America? Why can't I access Salesforce.com? They understand when the internet goes out, there's certain resources that aren't available if you don't have a secondary internet connection. That's part of the expectation setting you're doing when you're doing your BDR conversations anyway, your QBRs, hopefully using lifecycle, but you know, whatever, you know, I'll go right. give Alex and Marnie a little plug, exactly. But you know, when you're doing your QBRs, right? Like you're having those conversations. How important is it to me, for me to be up those 8 hours, 10 hours a workday without fail? Can I fail over to Wi-Fi? Can I fail over to go to a Starbucks? You know, what are my options? And you have that with the client and the phone. And it's not phone, it's communications. However they communicate with their clients, their vendors, their suppliers, how do their communications need to be up or down? What can they tolerate? That's a BDR conversation. That's not a VoIP conversation. You just need to, this isn't the client needs to understand this. This is the MSP needs to understand this. Rework how you look at these things. It'll be so much easier. And then when you do that, we went back to the pots never go down, right? Position VoIP is your more flexible option. This third bullet point, we've said this about so many things, right? You don't need to know, they don't need to know how it works, just that it works. The how, right. That's on you. That's on the MSP. If you don't know how to justify that, talk to me. I will walk you through it. And it doesn't even have to be an OIT VoIP solution. I'll talk to you how to sell anything. I'm used to it. Okay. Mary says I'm preaching to the choir. let's see here. All right. We're doing pretty good on time, but if you have questions, I see the ones from Carrie and Cactus. I will absolutely get to those because I like both of those questions. But if you have more questions, hit me up in chat or put them up. I definitely want to hear them. All right. If we mess up the phones, we lose a customer. So part of me now, Dan knows me already. Dan and I have been friends for a while already. He knows I'm typically the hard ass. you know, if one little detail goes wrong and you lose a customer, I hate to tell you, you were probably already going to lose that customer. But right. I don't think there's anything in that fill in the blank, take phones out and put anything else there, that if it goes wrong one time, that you should lose a customer. I don't think there's any answer in there that's acceptable for you to lose a customer based on one time. Because I'm the first to tell my customers, my partners, everybody, we will screw up. We absolutely will make mistakes. It happens. It's not the mistakes you make. It's how you handle them. How do you make up for them? I will never put you in a situation where you're going to have to apologize for me. That I won't. We're not going to do that because I know what it is. You're putting your word, you're putting your customer's confidence in you on the line. So I understand the MSP's role. I completely get it. And we're going to respect that position with you and your customer. But the truth of the matter is you have to have those conversations. You have to be, you should already be recommending whatever the best in class technologies are for them, for their situation. It's not a, if this screws up, it's not going to work. Because I've had, we use Salesforce, biggest CRM on the planet, multi-billion dollars. We were talking about conferences the other day and how big some of the biggest MSP conferences are, which are these enormous conference centers. Salesforce Dreamforce takes three cities. It is over three different close cities and takes multiple buildings in each one. That's a conference. And Salesforce has gone down on me several times in the last 2 years. You know, it's not that you want it to go down. It's that you're setting realistic expectations, just like in the last slide, right? It doesn't matter that, and I'm not saying MSP should use Salesforce. I'm saying for us, Salesforce was the right thing. For my company, I'm always going to pick the best tech solution. As an MSP, you should always pick the best tech solution for your client, or the best business solution, better said. You know, and that includes VoIP. It doesn't need to be, and again, this is not an OIT VoIP thing. If you feel somebody else is a better provider, go for it. Pick whatever you feel is best, but best has to be customer expectations, customer business initiatives, that you're going to be able to fix it if something goes wrong. You're going to be able to answer for it if something goes wrong. And make sure you can hit those four notes.
And let's go back to what I was saying earlier on, I believe it was on the last slide, as far as you know, the fact that if you've chosen one VoIP provider and you can master that, and you know and have the confidence that somebody like OIT VoIP has got your back, what better way? I mean, if you're going to get into a scenario where you're going to lose a client, think about this, the situations where you have no control, you have no relationship, and the client is going to look at you regardless if you sold them the VoIP solution or not. You are IT, and much better to be in a position that you have a strong relationship with the VoIP provider, and you've got somebody like OIT VoIP that you can, that you know has got your back if something goes wrong.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, it's building your smart team of people around you. I'm not saying I'm smart. I'm saying I have a ton of smart people to work with me. But it's building that smart group of people around you so that they can help you be successful. So you can, they can help you as a team support your client. One of the things, not to go too far off a tangent, but one of the things I tell people when I do the sales pitch, is, you know, we act as an extension of your MSP, right? We're not those ISPs and phone vendors that are trying to sell our own MSP services. We don't do MSP anymore. I want to be very clear about that. It doesn't take away from the knowledge and experience we have. So when we're talking to a client and we identify something that there's, you know, the phones are registering as fast Ethernet versus gigabit, or we're seeing congestion on the network, or we're seeing maybe a dead port, we don't say, oh, go call your MSP. We say, okay, I think I see what's going on. I see your MSP is XYZ company. We're going to reach out to them, let them know what's going on and have the conversation. They may have you replace a switch. They may have you do something, but we're going to discuss with them so they can give you the best option. How many vendors do you have that are teeing up sales for you instead of throwing you under the bus? Because I can tell you in my umpteen years of MSP experience, my number was zero. Okay, so you need that extension is, you know, call up and say, hey, Dean, Mary just told me, we just did this troubleshooting with Mary and we found a dead port. It's registering as fast Ethernet. Oh yeah. I forgot there's a little four port Linksys. Yeah, dude. We already told them they need to swap that out, that you're going to call them to go sell them something. So they're waiting for you. How awesome is that? Come on, take advantage of it. So, but, honestly, based on, let's see, Dean saying, honestly, based on some of the stuff I complain about, we need that. Yeah, dude, you absolutely need that support. All right. Myth number 10, I'm not ready yet, but I will be ready tomorrow. Oh, man, Dan, how many times have we heard this? Not even with VoIP. I mean, like hiring employees, getting documentation done, changing some supplier. We hear it every Wednesday and Friday, every single Build a Better call. This comes up at some point with some topic.
Right. I mean, so, here's something going way back to my childhood. I remember seeing going to one of my brother's baseball games, going to the concession stand, and they always had a note up that says free pop tomorrow. And so
That's mean,
you know, but you know, it comes down to, you know, tomorrow is the road to nowhere. You know, you have to start today, and you have to decide right now that you're going to make a change and you're going to make a decision. And you can't just keep waiting. And I'm going to throw out my Guy Kawasaki quote.
Love that guy.
Because I just love this quote. Is, you know, Guy Kawasaki is a Mac evangelist, you know, one of the original Mac guys, Apple guys. But his saying is, don't worry, be crappy. And he doesn't mean put out a bad product or put something out that's not quality. But he says, just do it. Get it done with. Start now. And then you can refine it as you move along. If you wait until it's ready, if you wait until you think it's perfect, then your competition is going to surpass you and you're going to lose the opportunity to close more deals because you've waited. And so now is the time.
Absolutely. We, I'll do the shorter version. I love Guy Kawasaki. Follow him. Everything he does is awesome. And he's an amazing photographer. But you know, the old saying, perfect is the enemy of done, right? Like,
right,
go back to that 15K a year for like the tiniest amount of effort, 15K a year you're leaving on the table. One of the things we do when we go out and actually I'll put it in the chat. One of the things we do when we talk to potential white labels or channel partners is we actually have an Excel calculator that we go through and say, okay, well, this is what your costs are. This is what your profit would be, and show them their road to profitability and all that stuff. And as standard, more often than not, they'll show us what they're currently doing with their clients, where their clients have whatever other service. And we'll say, okay, well, if you moved over to us, you'd be making this amount of money per month. This is what you're leaving on the table. We have, oh, thank you so much, Fred. It says lovely session. Yeah. I appreciate that. So, you know, one of the things I would do is like, we always get those people, I'm not ready now, I will later. And, you know, I had this one guy, it took me a year and a half, but this one guy, we had done the calculator and it was something like $5,000 a month he was leaving on the table. It was a significant amount of money. And I would call him every 3 months or 4 months when I remember, and it'd be like, hey, we're up to 20 grand now. Hey, we're up to 30 grand now. After a year and a half, right? And we were at $90,000, $60,000 a year. A year and a half is $90,000 at $5,000 a month. Assuming he didn't sell a bit of extra business since the first time we talked. I'm like, homie, we're at this point, like you could have bought like a Tesla X. Like, what are you waiting for? And he goes, I'm an idiot. You're absolutely right. And we ended up signing right away. Like, I mean, he also told me it was like the fact that I kept on him and, you know, I didn't forget about him and that kind of thing. I don't harass people normally like that, but we got off to a good start and, you know, actually became really good friends. But, you know, but it proves a point. You're leaving money on the table. Why are you doing that? Besides the other 9 months we already talked about, you're leaving money on the table. There's no such thing as ready. The truth of the matter is we handle it all for you. We walk you through it. If you're white label, we do it for you the first 5 times to teach you. If you're channel partner, we do it if you want us to. And if you don't want to, you do it yourself, but we don't force you. But either way, you're supported. So what are you? And there's no commitments to being channel partner, by the way. You sign up and you never sell anything. You could have NFR for, you know, yourselves month to month, and we will never bother you again. Actually, we'll probably call you and see what's up. But, you know, you're not forced to sell anything. And if you do, you make money. So right. There's not a whole lot of reason to not do it. So let's get to, oh, and this is some stuff some friends have said online. My absolute favorite, if Ray was more reachable, you'd be able to wake up, you'd wake up next to him. That's one of my, and Brett, awesome. You know, you know, some scammer he's got going, providing good product, service, and price. Let us pimp it for him. So this is an Everything MSP specific offer. This is not being offered to anybody else. If you sign up, and I didn't even tell Dan I was doing this. It's just, I love the group. If you sign up channel or white label in the next 30 days, our channel partners, 15, 18, 20% based on revenue. That's what you can expect, plus a new customer bonus. Everyone starts at 15, we'll bump you to 18% as long as you mention that EMSP July and sign up. Doesn't mean you have to sell anything. Just sign up as a channel partner. That's it. And there's no cost and you will automatically be at 18%. If you want to sign up white label, it's a $2,500 onboarding cost. It's in the calculator I put in the chat. We will give you $1,000 off the onboarding fee.
That's awesome.
You do have to sign within the first 30 days. So
yeah.
So
awesome. Thank you, man.
Yeah, man. So what do you think about the giveaways? Huh? Are you ready to do some Oh, I'm sorry. My link in the chat is whatchamacallit. I didn't spell it correctly. You want to do some giveaways, Dan?
Yeah, I ran the prize wheel on the $50 Amazon cards. And the first winner is Walter Brown with Advanced IT. So Walter, we got a $50 Amazon gift card coming to you. And
awesome. Congrats, dude.
Yeah. And actually a second one that came in, a familiar name, Jackie Putman with Pro Computer. Nice. Jackie's a familiar name. Yeah. So we got Jackie. Jackie will be getting a $50 Amazon gift card as well. So both Walter and Jackie, keep an eye out in your emails for that.
Can you give me five more names and we will give them shirts here?
Absolutely. So if you want, are there any other Simon, right? questions while I pull these up here?
Yeah. While he's doing that, I'll go ahead and answer Carrie's first question. Oh, thank you, James. James says, I sold my first OIT customer in May, was thoroughly astounded by the support and ease. Thanks so much, dude. I appreciate that. Nice. There you go. Walter put his email in chat. Whatchamacallit, Carrie's question, other equals NetSapiens versus Metaswitch. Teams is a massive selling point. NetSapiens integration with Microsoft is complex, say to someone like Call Tower. So Microsoft sucks. I use Teams personally. We have an integration with Teams. Again, back to the resiliency strategy. When Office 359 goes down, Teams does go down every once in a while. Our service continues to stay up and they can fail over to soft phones or wherever else. So that's a reason to use Teams with a direct routing provider like OIT. The initial setup is a little complex. We're working on making it easier, but it looks like you have an administrator access, an admin level account. You have to do an OAuth authorization with our Teams provider, and then it sets up, and then you have to assign this user has this Teams license, wait for propagation, and then connect them to us. The initial setup takes a little longer than I'd like, usually 24 hours or so due to propagation. After that, it works. And after when it works, it just works. There's nothing else to it. Unfortunately, there's not a lot we can do like that. I don't even know exactly how Call Tower is doing it. There's only a handful of companies that sell this as a third-party service. We use Teammate Connector. Other companies use Call to Teams, which has a very similar connection strategy. We use ours because of the way that it has additional stuff on top that other providers don't offer, like a built-in PBX app and some in-call control and bi-directional syncing of presence, that kind of stuff. Carrie says, no, you suck. That's to my team's comment, but I acknowledge it, but I can say it's the setup part. Once it's done, it's done. So it's not to worry about. I guess that answers the question. Happy to talk to you more about it though, Carrie. I know you're already a partner, but you know, I'm available if you ever want. Call Tower has a one button failover for MS. If Teams go down, we have a no button failover. You don't need to press any buttons for failover if that matters. Management is through admin.teams.microsoft.com. Oh, that's the new dial pad operator, because Teams actually has, Microsoft actually has three connection methods for connecting to Teams. I know what you're talking about. We're working on that, but I hate doing roadmap TM, so I'm not going to say anything about it now. We're working on that. I'll just shut up there. Anyway, Dan, what you got some names for me, man?
You got it, man. We have five other winners for the t-shirts. Yep. We've got Scott Harden. We have James Corbridge. We have Erlis Miller, Kevin Thompson, and Allison Keys. So awesome. congratulations to those guys. Heck yes.
So congratulations. That is our Super Mario Level Up Your Revenue shirts and our swag store. The swag store is shop.oat.co. I apologize. That link on the slide is wrong. But congratulations. You can use that EMSP July and you can go get that shirt. And that's it at 256, right on the money. How is that? Wait, we got one more question. No easier door opener than telling a business that their traditional landline is going to go up in cost. That is true. Pots are significantly more expensive and will no longer be serviced. That's not a question. That's just an awesome observation by Cactus TS. Thank you so much for that. So this is our contact information, but honestly, you can just hit us up on Everything MSP's Facebook group because we're Alex and I are always in there. So yeah, dude,
that's so
awesome. I think that's a pretty good, not a bad webinar, huh?
It's a great, great webinar. And, like we said, I mean, there are opportunities for us all to drive additional business. And what it comes down to is selecting the right partner that we know is going to have our back, that has a quality product and service that we can feel comfortable with putting our signature on. And that's why we have Ray and the OIT VoIP team here. So thank you, Ray, for all that you do in delivering quality product and service.
Okay. Michael Jackson. It's hard to say that without saying Michael, email Simon at OIT.co. I'll put it in the chat. He's monitoring, but email him and he will make sure you're taken care of.
I noticed we had Michael Jackson, I saw in our list of attendees, as well as Kenny Rogers. So we have two famous people here on the call today.
I love that. I think we need to do an Everything MSP concert.
Yes.
You know, you did that once as an after hours thing. I think we need to bring that back.
So. Yes, absolutely. That is awesome.
Awesome.
Well, we are at the top of the hour, everybody. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. And the gift cards, we have the two winners for the gift cards, Henry, that you're questioning about, was Walter Brown and Jackie Putman were our two winners on the gift cards. So thank you to those two. So again, Ray, thank you for your time and your talents and sharing with us. We greatly appreciate it. Everybody have a great rest of your day and we will talk to you guys soon. Peace out, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
See ya.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.